You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Coming to us from Australia, from Sydney, well, I'm very pleased to say we have Elmo Aoyama coming on to join and talk about their debut album, Demons, which you can find on Bandcamp. You can also find it on other platforms. But it is a real, real fun, dark synth, electronic-y, poppy sort of vibe. And I'm very excited to talk to Elmo all about the thematics of this album, about travel, and about the sound of this thing. Good morning to you, Elmo. How are we doing?
Good morning. I am doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm very, very, very happy to have you. You told me just before that you've kind of just been resettling into home back into Sydney after about 6 months of travelling around the place. How does it feel to be back in a home spot, back with all your stuff?
Yeah, so it's been good. It's been a little bit of settling back in. And at the very end, I went through like a really crazy temperature change because I came from Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia, which was minus 20 to minus 36 degrees. And then come back to Sydney and it's like 30 degrees. So I've gone through like a 60 degree change. That's kind of pretty crazy.
Yeah. Do you have to how do you have to train your body to adapt to that temperature change?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't do anything specifically. And I'm surprised that it just made me realize how strong we are, you know? I've never done such a drastic change before. But, you know, going strong. I'm doing good.
I'm glad to hear. Did you have New Year's over in Mongolia?
No, so I came back right before. For New Year to Australia, yeah.
Oh, true.
But I would have liked to be there. Yeah.
How was your New Year's? Was it quite fun?
Yeah, it was good. It was pretty chill. I kind of hung out with some close friends, went to a party, and yeah, had a pretty good time. What about you?
Me? Yeah, same. Honestly, keeping it super chill. Yeah, I don't really have a lot of stamina for partying these days. It has to be a very kind of, you know, specific set of circumstances to be able to do that, yeah. but your album, Demons, it came out at the tail end of November on the 27th last year. The day after that, you and your cousin had an exhibition opening in Mongolia's capital, Ulaanbaatar, as you've mentioned just before. How did that exhibition opening go? Were you debuting a lot of metal work? Because I know that you're a welder extraordinaire.
Yeah, so I do metal work. There was some metal. I was able to source some really fine white copper. And because it was really thin, that was kind of more trimming and hand forming. And they turned into these sort of like reflective shapes, they looked a little bit like a puddle or... I don't know how to explain it. It's, they were quite these like little reflective pieces. And I had sort of a cluster of those. And then I also had these other sculptures, which also had fabric, and it was sort of division. I guess because we were talking about time and space and memory and how technology has changed the modern day life and how you can sort of move through space without technology, however. So then my cousin Myra also had some like radio works that had interferences changing the lights, and we had a couple of, it was an installation, a collaborative installation, and I think it went quite well. It was kind of supported by the Arts Council of Mongolia, which was really cool. And then we got, it was really fun. It was good.
Awesome. Oh, that sounds like a whole lot of fun, man. It sounds like some really cool work. I want to talk about the album. It was written over a decade of travel across Australia, China, Vietnam, and of course Mongolia. How did traveling inform this idea of confronting or trying to let go of your demons that sort of shows up on the album? Do you find that if you travel, you can't really escape yourself?
Yeah, well, kind of, it does give you some time to yourself. There's kind of forced sort of meditative states that you go through, especially when you're in the traveling part. So say like you get on an airplane, I think it starts when you get to the airport actually, and you're kind of in this like vacuum of time and mm-hmm. your fate is more or less out of your hands. Like your job is to like get on the plane, but once you're on there, it's like they lock the doors, you're in your seat, you're in your seat number. They give you food when they give you food. They turn the lights off when they turn the lights off. And it's like you're kind of in this like vacuum of time and space. And you can, I mean, you can definitely just like watch movies as well. Or it's a time to kind of like really sit with yourself as well. But so, yeah, that kind of like intense experiences that you go through, and then meeting people, seeing the different ways that people live. And, yeah, I think it brings up a lot of new experiences, and also you realize you get insight into old experiences too, I feel. So then, yeah, that has how it's shaped the album.
Oh my goodness. I completely agree with when you get on a plane, you are just surrendering yourself to fate. I was on a plane yesterday taking an hour-long flight, and I couldn't help but think about how vulnerable we are in a plane. You know, it's not fun. I don't enjoy it at all. How do you cope? Do you get quite, like, more fatalistic when you're on a plane?
No, I mean, I'm a good flyer. I quite like flying. I can't always sleep, so I'm often just kind of, like, awake, and I just sort of sit there or look out the window, but yeah, it's pretty funny. I like it. I kind of like it when you like have this like camaraderie with like your seat person. If it's someone you don't know, I like the kind of like silent camaraderie that you have with them, like where you're like cooperating but you're not really talking. And you kind of, it's like this like, yeah, you're like this team, and I like that, like as a human thing, you know?
It is cute. It is really, really sweet. A bit of a bonding moment there. I know you're a big fan of Mongolia. It's where you learn to weld, which is pretty awesome. But I want to know, what are some other highlights from across that decade of travel across you know, Vietnam, China, Mongolia, Australia?
So definitely Mongolia. Like, going there in summer and winter was cool. And then Vietnam was really cool time. I spent like 3 months there, so I kind of got to know it fairly well. And then there was like a little bit of a gap, you know, because there was like pandemic times in there as well. Kind of immediately after, it happened when I was in Vietnam. That's right. And then that's kind of why I left, more or less, was because everything started to shut down. And then, yeah, I think in between, like, I was mainly just going to Japan. Like, I try and go there kind of, like, once a year, touch base, see family, friends, stuff like that. And, spending time, like, in China last year was really, really amazing because I got to know Beijing quite well, made a bunch of friends, and kind of got to see some really cool shows. And and I feel like there's much, much more to explore. It's such a big country.
It's huge. I really want to go to China. It'd be quite terrifying, but also quite thrilling, I think. It'd be really fascinating.
I would really recommend it.
Yeah, awesome. I don't want to make this chat all about Mongolia, but you've drawn a lot of influence from that country, in particular on the track Nadam, where you critique tourist hypocrisy. And I want to kind of drill down on that idea and explore it further. When you mean tourist hypocrisy, do you mean the thing of like people wanting to go see a place in its natural or advertised state, but then they go there and they find that there's too many other tourists just like them, and it's really become a shell of its former self?
It is that, like, so that is actually, that's an interesting thing to talk about, because when I went to Japan this year, I really kind of noticed that, and I'd heard it from people, like, there's heaps of tourists in Japan kind of thing, and then seeing it, particularly in the really overpopulated city centre kind of areas, I was like, well, we probably need to, like, slow down a bit. I think as well, it's kind of the idea that you you want to go and see. Yeah, so it's like, I think the act of going there in itself, it's kind of like just being aware of how that is changing its form. And also, I mean, this is something that's been going on for such a long time, right? It's like people go to a new place and it's so fascinating, and it's new land, new culture, and just kind of, yeah, I think it's just like sometimes viewing it from the outside in, but not being able to see it from the inside. So it's like, so say you go, like, it's so important to like meet people and have conversations and kind of like talk to people about what's happening, because otherwise you're kind of just like peering, you're there physically, but it's like there's like a pane of glass in between you and what's happening, and you're kind of looking like through it. And that glass could be foggy or cloudy too, but it's kind of like, so yeah, I guess it's really important to like try and like get past that glass and yeah, really connect with like the people.
Yeah, completely, completely. One example I can think of is in Prague. I'm pretty sure it's in Prague. The price of rent for locals there has increased exponentially over the past few years because there's so many Airbnbs in the town. So tourism is making that place unaffordable for Czechians, which I think is, you know, it's pretty cooked. There's a lot of kind of paradoxes in tourism, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. That's like a very good example for sure.
Yeah, it's real cooked. And especially, I hear it's quite easy to notice in Vietnam, especially in like Ha Long Bay. There's just tons of tourists polluting, and like, I think that beach in Ha Long Bay got like 5,000 visitors a day last year. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, totally. When it's kind of going against like the land, then yeah, very much becomes a big problem. And then like you think about all the transport, like everything to get everyone to that point, that's also damaging. So it's like, yeah, just kind of like thinking about that stuff is, yeah, being aware,
being a responsible tourist. Also slow tourism, you know, if you can afford to go to a place for like a month and live there for a bit, you know, and do that rather than just like, I'm gonna see the Eiffel Tower, you know. It's really silly. I want to touch on the sound of this
absolutely
thing.
Absolutely.
Oh, sorry. You go.
No, absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah. No, you go.
Okay. There's a slight delay, I think, so it's quite
funny. Yeah, there's latency.
Yeah. I love it. The track Hide on this album, Demons, it uses this very buzzing, bright synth that sounds like it could have come out of Europe in the 80s. I think Kraftwerk is sort of an obvious comparison, but take that if you will. Does that kind of era of synth music and that kind of region of synth music inform your music making at all?
It's a funny one because I think it's I actually came across Kraftwerk and kind of more like YMO and then like Hosono Haruomi and then like Sakamoto Ryuichi, kind of like that, which is kind of similar era-ish. I kind of came across that music more me, and maybe it did inform it slightly, but I think it had already formed somewhat as well. Yeah, so it's kind of like a yes and yes and no, but yes, I would say. And because I used to play synth in a band, and we always would often get said, people would often say that we had like an 80s sound. So I think there's that kind of So, like, yes, I guess so. I should probably go and listen to more Kraftwerk.
Me too, honestly. Do you know they started in 1970, which is pretty nuts. Very early onto it.
That is crazy.
Is this the band you mentioned you played synth in the band? Is this the band where you play electric violin?
Oh, so that's a different band. That is called Fully Feudal, and we're, like, currently active now. That's more, like, post-punk. Sydney-based. Music, I think we're working on some recordings now, but so the band I used to play in a band called Big White, and it was more like kind of synth pop, new wave, 80s like power pop rock kind of band. We're sort of We're sort of not active anymore, but we made some albums. Yes, cool. Back in the day.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's sort of one last aspect I want to touch on about this album, and that is some of the sonic experimentation that I feel like I'm hearing on the track Jacket, because it opens with what sounds like a singing bowl and then these really strange woodwind sounds that it feels like you can hear the reed inside the flute being manipulated digitally. And I just want to know, like, how do you sort of come up with those sounds, and was this album a big moment for you trying out different recording techniques and experimenting with your sound?
Yeah, so I think that's cool that you picked up on that. I really like that intro as well. And because I think I was sort of experimenting a little bit with kind of like soundtracking, and I do make ambient stuff as well. So kind of getting into that like cinematic composition, I guess, but sort of like finding where the intersection is with that and, you know, kind of like contemporary music and pop and things like that. So it's like, yeah, I think I am experimenting and exploring sounds, but then also I'm interested in those, like the crossover between those two worlds.
Mm. Oh, I think you definitely hear that on a few different tracks on here. You've said that it took a while for demons to get unleashed into the world. So I imagine that you've been working on more music and art stuff. You've got that band, as you mentioned. Have you got much on the horizon for this new year, 2026?
Yeah, there is a little bit. So I'm working. I'm finishing another album now, and it is going pretty well.
Mm. Is it called Angels?
Yes, I hope to have that finished this year. Nah, it's not Angels. It's like, yeah, it's not Angels. It's not Demons. I'm not sure what the title is yet, but I'm getting the tracks kind of finalized now, and it's probably like, I need to do a little bit more work on that one. And then, yeah, there is the Fully Feudal stuff. I've got this collaboration with like a Mexican producer. Yeah. And we met last year. Oh no, sorry, the year before. And so it's actually his album, and I'm doing some like features on that. And I think that should be out sometime this year. I've got some things that are more on the back burner. They're very ones.
Dope. Well, lots to keep our eyes peeled for. Thank you for coming on the program this morning, Alma. I really appreciate it. I was just wondering, do you have any final thoughts, words, considerations to leave our lovely listeners with?
Maybe do what you want to do and have fun and be funny.
I love that. Thank you very much, Alma. I really appreciate it. Take care, man.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right, folks. That was Alma Aoyama. We're talking to Alma about their latest record, Demons. It's their debut album, and you can find it on Bandcamp. We're going to play the track Nadam, from the album, and then we may be having some news. We'll see how we go. Is there any news worth talking about without crying? That's a question for later. Here is Nadam from Alma Aoyama. Take care.
Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.